We've been hearing a lot about internet security and internet freedom, not just in the context of the federal government, but the whole Google and China case that we discussed last week on the Federal News Countdown on In Depth with Francis Rose, the conversation that we have every Friday afternoon where three people from the federal world talk about the three most important news stories in their view of the week. And we'll have a new Federal News Countdown for you tomorrow afternoon. We'll tell you about that later on in this program. But that issue, the issue of internet security brought up when Google pulled out of China a couple of weeks ago and talked about the fact that they had been attacked by the Chinese government, the issue that it raised was, first of all, reminded people of previous times where the federal government's networks have been attacked by outside forces, and also reminded us that it can happen at any number of levels for any number of reasons and on just about any scale. Larry Clinton is the president of the Internet Security Alliance, and he's been on Capitol Hill throughout the day today to talk about how those attacks can be mitigated, and he's my guest to talk about it now on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Larry, thanks for taking some time to talk to me today.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me back.
What is the sense that you get as you go to Capitol Hill and talk to the members of Congress about the level of get it that you're finding? Is this something that members of Congress, by and large, understand on a, shall we say, on an involved level where this is an issue that they are aware of and learning about? Or is this, in some cases, still an issue where their staff people are telling them that it's important and they should meet with you and that's about the end of it?
Well, it depends on the member, of course. There are a few members of Congress who I think do very much get the issue, at least in terms of understanding how important it is and how threatening it is. There are some of them that have had some of the intelligence briefings that are classified, and I think that they are very aware of how serious a problem it is. I think most members of Congress, however, still don't really get it. They think of this as some sort of geeky IT sort of issue that somebody with a pocket protector is going to come up with a gizmo or a standard that's going to solve, and it's much, much broader than that. So there's a lot of educational work that really needs to be done with the members. I think the staff is even in need of substantial education, but I do think the process is growing. I think there is more interest.
So you feel that as far as overall awareness goes, we're heading in a good direction, even if we're not necessarily where we want to be as far as congressional awareness of the problem?
That's right, but we are really at the early stages. I know we've been saying some of the same things in our testimony probably for 4 or 5 or even 6 or 7 years, and now we are able to change the message from cyberspace is dangerous and we are under attack to, all right, now that we know that we're under attack, what do we do about it? So the fact that we're moving on to that next stage is a really good thing, but that's a really big stage, and there's a lot of work that needs to be done there.
One of the drivers for your trip to the Hill was this report that the Internet Security Alliance has out called Implementing the Obama Cybersecurity Strategy via the ISA Social Contract Model.
Right.
You were my guest, I can't even quantify it, but you've been on talking about the social contract model. So if you would just give us a quick thumbnail of what that means.
Yeah, I apologize for how bad a title that is for news radio. But basically, all it is our pointing out that the government and industry need to develop a creative partnership wherein there are different roles that they need to take, much like they did in earlier generations when government made an agreement with what became the public utilities so that we would have universal telephone service and heat and water, et cetera, because it was in the public interest. And that was done by using market forces to generate the necessary investment to create those services. We have a similar situation now with cybersecurity. A lot of people here in the United States are connected, but virtually everybody is at risk. In fact, if you look at the front page of the New York Times this morning, they have an article in it that says because if your password is still 123456, it might as well be hack me. And that's the most common password that people use. So these notions that you're protected by these real blunt instruments of years ago, that hasn't caught on. If we adopt this model that we're proposing and alter the economics of cybersecurity so that there are incentives for people and corporations and, frankly, the government to improve their security, which there are not now, or at least not sufficient, then we can really begin to take a real bite out of this problem. But we have to really change the way we're thinking about it.
My favorite password is password.
Yes. Yes, actually, they mentioned that in the article. I think that's the third most popular.
Unbelievable. I've got to look at that because I love reading about people that do goofy stuff. And anybody that would do that at this point in time in 2010 certainly is goofy. We need to take a break, Larry, but when we come back, I want to talk about educating people, not just on the Hill,
yeah,
but across the agencies and in the private sector and so forth, who are still using password as their password and things like that, and getting this information out, and a number of other issues I want to cover with Larry Clinton, the Internet Security Alliance president, on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. It's In Depth with Francis Rose.
Pentagon and Beyond, brought to you by Eric.
The Pentagon's ordering another 2,000 Marines to Haiti, diverting troops that were on their way to the Persian Gulf and Africa. Navy officials say three ships that left Virginia on Monday for regular deployment have been told to go to Haiti instead for the earthquake relief effort. First, a group of some 2,000 Marines went ashore for the first time on Tuesday. Pentagon official says there are some 11,500 U.S. military personnel in Haiti or offshore, and 16,000 expected to be there by week's end. I'm J.J. Green.
If you've ever stumbled in the dark, did you ever stop to think how difficult it is for our military to see what they need to see and nothing else during night warfare? ARINC has. ARINC provides design solutions for night vision devices, helmet-mounted displays, and laser eye protection, just to name a few. They help all branches of our armed forces to see better, fly and land faster, and most importantly, more safely. ARINC helps today's military forces become ready for tonight's warfare challenges. For more information and career opportunities, log on to ARINC.com.
Operation Second Chance, in partnership with Renewal by Anderson of the Washington, D.C. Capital Area, supports our wounded heroes who have put their lives on the line to protect our freedoms. Together, through the Windows of Opportunity campaign, financial support is given to wounded servicemen, women, and their families to help pay their rent, fix their cars, modify their homes, and even feed their families. For more information, visit WindowsHelpingHeroes.org. And together, they're helping heroes move on.
Attention integrators, VARs, program managers, sales and marketing professionals, CEOs who need to understand how to get your products in front of the right government decision makers. This is Amtower. For the last 25 years, I've focused on only one market, doing business with our favorite rich uncle. I've learned a lot in that time, and I share that information the way I get it, unedited from the front lines with that patented Amtower edge. If you want the straight scoop, the unvarnished truth, tune in Monday at noon for Amtower Off Center.
Welcome back to In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. My guest is Larry Clinton. He is president of the Internet Security Alliance. And Larry, we were talking about, of course, cybersecurity and other issues regarding this before the break. And Howard Schmidt is now in place as President Obama's cybersecurity coordinator. What job should he be taking on first, do you think? What's his priority list look like if you're writing it for him?
Well, the first thing he needs to do is staff up, and they have been doing a pretty good job of this under Phil Reitinger over at Department of Homeland Security. There's some money that's been set aside, but the federal government needs a lot more people working on this issue. So that's one thing he needs to do. But the second thing that I would recommend Howard do, and I've known Howard for years, and he's a very capable fella, is he needs to educate the government as well as private industry and the general population that this is not just an IT issue. We're going to have to look at this and attack this in a much broader sense. Cybersecurity is a strategic issue. It is an economic issue. It is a human rights issue, as the events in China and Google pointed out just yesterday. And thankfully, Secretary Clinton spoke to, I thought, pretty eloquently earlier today. He's got to get that message across, that we're not going to have the geeks fix this for us. We are going to have to pick up our own responsibilities, and people need to become responsible for the data that they use. Typically, we all have data, whether we're in human resources or in finance or whatever, but we think it's the guy down at the end of the hall in the IT department whose job it is to secure the data. We got to change that. We've all got to take on that responsibility, and Howard can lead the way by putting the proper incentives in place. And I'm not just talking about macro incentives like insurance and procurement reform. We need to have these incentives built in to the human resources models that people use, so that, you know, if you have password as your password, you know, that's a point against you in your annual review and things like that. We've got to really bring this down to the practical, pragmatic level, and I think Howard can do a lot to move us in that direction.
We have not heard him speak since he's been selected for that job, but we have heard any number of other Obama administration officials talk about cybersecurity in the year that the president has been in office, and every time they speak, they are very careful to very specifically articulate the idea that the federal government, as you said in the first segment, is a partner with private industry, with academia, and so on. I imagine that's to convey to people the idea that they're not interested in taking over cybersecurity and specifically setting standards. How does that comport with your thoughts and the ISA's thoughts and this social contract model?
Well, it's absolutely true. The fact of the matter is that in the 21st century world we live in, the private sector is on the front lines of the cyber war that is going on, and it is going on. The internet is attacked thousands of times a day. And it's sometimes, I think, hard for all of us when we're in the middle of a situation to realize all the things that are going on around us. But I think we're in we're in the eye of the hurricane on this now, and we've got to break out of it. We're going to need to rethink and restructure ourselves to attack this issue, and so there's a lot of education that needs to be done at the highest levels of corporations, which are very badly structured. The economics of cybersecurity are not transparent. For example, a lot of us think that if our credit card gets hacked, we're protected because there's only $50 and the banks will take over, when in actuality, all of us are paying for all those hacks. We're just paying it in higher fees and higher interest rates and the like. The same thing basically is true in business. They have covered over the true costs of cybersecurity, so they're going to have to really reanalyze how they address their economic aspects. And if we can change these economic motivators in a way to provide improved activity, the good news is that we know how to solve 80-90% of this problem right now with stuff that we've already got on the shelves. We're just not doing it. That's what the social contract is trying to do, is point out ways that we can alter the economic incentives to get people to do the things that we already know work. And one example of that actually is if we had put in place the program for sharing information that we've articulated in our document, if that had been in place, we could have prevented, we believe, the success of the Chinese attacks on Google and other companies. Low cost, really not very hard to do. It's a lot like with the airline bomber. The information was out there. We didn't connect the dots, and as a result, in the airline case, we got lucky. In the Google case, we didn't. But we do know how to solve these things. We just have to approach them in a different way.
Larry, we've got to take another break before we wrap up. But before we do that, I want to throw out a parallel that I think might work, and then a hypothesis. Let you think about it during the break, and talk about it when we come back to wrap up. People decided that the environment was a very important thing. They expressed that to private sector companies, they expressed it to the state and local governments, and they expressed it to the federal government. All three of those entities started to act, and now everywhere you go, everything's green. Even the grocery stores are turning green, and they're promoting the fact that they're using less energy and so on and so forth. Products that companies want to sell you, they're making them green, and that's appealing now. That's a plus instead of a negative, where it used to be that that stuff was a lot more expensive. Is it possible that... I guess the hypothesis is, if you can make the public interested in cybersecurity, that they drive it from the bottom up in addition to having it come from the top down, whether it's private sector or public sector, that may be even more influential than legislation or regulation or whatever. Think about that concept, if you would, and let's talk about it a little bit when we come back from the break. Larry Clinton is the president of the Internet Security Alliance. He's my guest on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio 1500 AM, and we will be back in just a moment.
Listen to Fed Talk on Federal News Radio 1500 AM every Friday morning at 11. Brought to you by the attorneys of Shaw, Bransford, and Roth. Fed Talk features live interviews with guests from the federal community sharing their insights on issues that affect you. Call in or email questions or comments to Fed Talk at federalnewsradio.com. Fed Talk is sponsored by GEICO. This week on Fed Talk, host Deborah Roth will be joined by Catherine Troutman of The Resume Place to talk about hot topics in employment for both current and aspiring feds and landing a federal job in 2010.
The Intelligence and National Security Report is brought to you by ManTech International Corporation.
Advanced technology solutions are critical components in the war against terrorism and other national security efforts. ManTech was one of the first contractors on the battlefield in the early 1990s, supporting mission-critical technology, and they remain deeply involved in this mission today. ManTech supports sophisticated surveillance systems in Iraq and Afghanistan, which gives the U.S. military the intelligence required to rapidly respond to hostile acts and helps maintain many of the vehicles which protect our troops against roadside bombs.
Due to the high demand for ManTech skills and expertise, they have tremendous career opportunities for cleared, highly skilled IT professionals, security experts, intelligence analysts, engineers, and technicians. Apply for openings today at mantech.com. That's MANTECH.com. ManTech, leading the convergence of national security and technology.
Gain the tools and knowledge you need to lead reform for mission performance at ERMCO 2010. The General Services Administration's ERMCO is government's CXO conference exclusively by and for government executives and managers. At ERMCO, you will learn how government leaders are leading reform for mission performance and how you can too. Plan now to attend ERMCO on April 11th through the 14th in beautiful Cambridge, Maryland. Take advantage of early bird registration rates and visit ERMCO.gov or call 202-237-0300.
We're back to wrap up today's In-Depth with Francis Rose program on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. My guest in this part of the program, Internet Security Alliance President Larry Clinton. His organization putting out a report called Implementing the Obama Cybersecurity Strategy via the ISA Social Contract Model, and you can find out more about that at isalliance.org, and we've got a link to that at later this afternoon at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth. Larry, I laid out a hypothesis before the break, and that is that since the environmental movement has taken off in the commercial realm and in the government realm as much as it has, where you can hardly walk into a grocery store or a department store or any place without seeing somebody trying to demonstrate how they're being green. Is there potential, do you think, for cybersecurity to become just as desirable in the eyes of the consuming public, whether it is a somebody buying something in a store or a citizen consuming a government good or service?
Sure. The environmental movement really only took off when all of a sudden organizations discovered that it was economically profitable to be more environmental, when they realized that by recycling they could cut down on their business costs, by putting it into their advertising they could generate greater sales. It was really largely an economic movement that moved it to the next level after we had the early activists, and then became really mainstream. And we think exactly that sort of model needs to be taken with regard to cybersecurity. We need to put the economics in place as they are not currently now. Right now, all the economics of cybersecurity favor the attackers. Attacks are easy, cheap. What you can steal is enormous. You have very little chance of getting caught, whereas defense is hard, and we're a generation behind the attackers, and it's difficult to show return on investment. So we have to change that equation, and when we change that equation, just like we did with the environmental movement, I think we'll find a dramatic increase in cybersecurity. And when we couple that with the upcoming generation, the people that they are calling the digital natives, the school children like my daughter who are growing up with this technology, I think that they will be much more sophisticated about handling it and securing it than those of us who were called digital immigrants, guys my age, who weren't born into the digital world. We have to learn more about it, but they'll know more about it coming up. So if we can combine those two factors together, I think we can come up with a sustainable system of cybersecurity. But we have to change that economic equation. Otherwise, of course, we're going to continue to be attacked.
We only have about a minute left, but it seems like we have to try to make cybersecurity sexy the way that environmentalism and good stewardship of the planet became sexy, and that seems to be the key, and transforming it from what you were talking about earlier about people thinking of it as a pocket protector kind of thing is a kind of a hard place to start to try to get it from one end of the spectrum to the other.
Well, every journey begins with a single step, and I think we're a couple of steps down the road. I think the administration has taken an enlightened view. I was very appreciative of the Secretary Clinton's speech today. I thought she struck the right tone, talking about this as an economic and strategic issue. But I think we need to do a lot more education in the Congress and in the boardrooms in order to get this right.
And I know you've been asked a million times, but no relation to the Secretary, right?
No relation whatsoever.